Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yesterday morning, in London, at 11 a.m., Big Ben, that iconic symbol of London, the large clock that overlooks the Houses of Parliament, the centre of government in the land, at 11 a.m. local time, Big Ben, which has actually been silent for some months while they carried out clock repairs, rang out for the first time. As Big Ben tolled the hour, members of the royal family, the Prime Minister, leaders of the armed forces, laid wreaths at the cenotaph in Whitehall. And all over the British Isles, there was silence as people remembered the nation's war dead. And in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, in other countries of the Commonwealth of Nations, and in France, for which it is a public holiday, similar observances were held in what is known as Armistice Day. That on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, silence will be observed to commemorate the signing of the armistice that ended World War I. Last night, royal and political dignitaries, as well as representatives from all the branches of the armed forces, gathered in the Royal Albert Hall in London to mark this solemn occasion. At the end of the evening, as everyone stood in silence, thousands upon thousands of poppy leaves fell from the ceiling onto the shoulders of those gathered. Today, Sunday, throughout towns and villages of Britain, civil dignitaries, members of the armed forces, as well as the public, will gather at their respective war memorials to observe this day. For it has been part of the fabric of my country for nearly 100 years. And everyone will be wearing a poppy. Inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, where poppies were the first flowers to grow on soldiers' graves in Flanders, Belgium. Interestingly enough, it was American veterans groups who first adopted the poppy as a symbol of remembrance. I'm delighted to see you're all wearing one. It was later taken up by the British. Poppy Day in Britain is part of the national consciousness. As a boy, I can remember members of the British Legion selling poppies all over the country, the proceeds going to help veterans and their families. In my mother's final years, she lived in an apartment built and supported by the British Legion. As a cadet in the Air Training Corps, I remember marching with my squadron to a Remembrance Day service in my hometown. And as a choir member in the local church, Raylan and I attended gathering with ecumenical clergy in the market square as prayers were said and hymns were sung. I like to think, in this country, Veterans Day reflects the same thing. With a difference, of course. The Veterans Day recognizes living members of the armed forces, whereas Memorial Day is that deeper remembrance. It's for this reason that later on in this service, representatives of the Quilts of Valour will recognize three members of our congregation who have served the armed forces, Buddy Yeager, Lance Spicer, and Jim Stauffer. It is fitting that we do so. But what we are really doing is that most ancient of human habits, entering that room we call remember. Frankly, the most important thing humans can ever do. The act of remembering locates us in time and space. And unless we enter that room called remember, individually as well as a community, we cannot know who and what has shaped us, shaped our lives, and how the remembrances might help us shape our future. In one way or another, each of our readings from Scripture for this Sunday enter this room called remember. In the epistle from St. Paul, St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, which, by the way, is the oldest text in the New Testament, St. Paul responds to a concern of his fledgling church about their loved ones who have died. There was a firm belief in New Testament times that the end of the world was imminent. When he wrote his letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul believed that the end of the world would occur in his lifetime, a view he would later modify. But for the moment, he answered the questions we all ask when a loved one dies. Where are they now? What has become of them? Will we see them again? And Paul's answer is both pastoral and theological. Pastoral in yes, we will see our loved ones again. And theological in that it will happen on the day of resurrection. We tend to get caught up in the life and birth of Jesus. But the catalyst that brought the first Christians together as a church and which separates us from other religions was the belief in the resurrection, that Christ died and was raised from the dead. As Paul was to say elsewhere in his letters, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. And the reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the story of the 10 maidens, is about how to prepare for the end of time. The emerging church saw itself as the bride of Christ. So in a reversal of common custom, Jesus speaks of the bridesmaids, the church, waiting for the bridegroom, the second coming of Christ. And the message is clear. Be prepared. And what being prepared means is illustrated for us in that somewhat strident lesson from the Old Testament prophet Amos. Amos lived nearly 3,000 years ago during a time in the history of the people of Israel when dreadful social inequality existed. The wealthy amassed capital and estates at the expense of the many. And when for the many a small debt could serve as a thin end of the wedge between comfort and poverty. Into this arena, Amos's cry rang loud and clear. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Years ago, When I lived in England, there was a radio essayist who had a 15-minute slot he called A Sideways Look, in which he reflected on a common subject from a little considered angle. Before this service began, right at the beginning of the contemporary service, Randy says, well, you know, we're going to be here for two services. So he says, I want to hear two sermons. Well, Randy, here's the second one. Here's my sideways look at Remembrance Day. I think I've said this before. I grew up in a city which was the worst bombed city in England during World War II. And a few years ago, I discovered a documentary that someone had made about the Blitz of Hull. I know London had a Blitz. Well, we had one as well. 4 or 5 nights of intensive bombing by the German Air Force. During that documentary, the interviewer interviewed a midwife. We all know what a midwife is. She told the story of going to a house in the city to deliver a baby. The baby was safely delivered. Mother was fine. Family was fine. As she was leaving the house, the air raid warnings sounded. And so she got on her bicycle and rode back to where she lived, so she could get shelter in the bomb shelter near the home that she lived in. After the raid was over, the following morning, she decided to bicycle back to the house where she delivered the baby to see how the family was. As she got closer to the street, she started to come up with bomb debris, red debris from bombed houses and buildings. And when she got to the end of the street, the warden stopped her because the street had disappeared. She asked what had happened to the family she had visited the day before. He said the house took a direct hit and all were killed. With tears in her eyes, she mused, I think that must have been the youngest casualty of the war, a mere 3 or 4 hours old. There are no winners in war. There are only victims. And sometimes the victims can be overlooked. The latest United Nations figures estimate that in our time, 60 million people, half of them children, have been displaced as a consequence of war. Displaced means they're homeless, their cities destroyed. This does not include those like that family in World War II who were killed. They neither voted for nor wished war, but war was visited on them. On this Remembrance Day, this Veterans Day weekend, as we pay tribute to those in countries around the world, for those who have served their country and died for their country, it is right that we do so. But let us not forget the millions upon millions of victims who never asked for this war and have no special day to commemorate them. And in our room called Remember, let that cry of Amos be our vision and our mission. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Happy Veterans Day. Amen.